It is Mackling and McGarry on your Friday morning. And while it has been kind of gloomy for the last couple of days, I'm sort of fine with seeing the rain that we're getting because we need it. There's dust.
Oh, the dust and the dirt and everything. Yeah, we often say we need a good rain. It'll kind of finish cleaning things up. Hopefully it helps. Can barely see into the distance from here at Portage in Maine. So some low cloud, maybe some fog, depending on where you are. Let us know. 204-780-6868. Brett, my front lawn is greening up quite nicely. I can only imagine what this precipitation means for your favorite places.
Golf courses!
They got to be celebrating this.
Yes, I hope they are. And on that note, with the forecast, sunny and 18 on Sunday, and it doesn't look like, and knock on wood, doesn't look like it's going to be all that windy on Sunday. So I finally have my first round booked at Kingswood in LaSalle. Excited about that. Haven't been out there yet. It's been kind of a weird season for me thus far because normally I'm like just raging to get out and play. But I played once this year, made it out to Southside. I think I just played so bad that I'm scared to go back out. Like it was a bloodbath. It was horrible.
The golf gods are telling you to keep your clubs in the closet for an extra couple of weeks or what? You only get better if you play, McGarry.
That's the philosophy. Dreadful. It was just dreadful.
But did you have fun though?
Ah, a little bit.
Beating yourself up is fun. Yeah. You enjoy that.
That is one of my number one pastimes. But yeah, so, and on that front, just a reminder that as far as prizing goes today, we have a Winnipeg discount golf card up for grabs, which is a great prize if you're a golfer because it's a steal of a deal. Even if you buy it, it's $45. Winnipeg discount golf card.ca for more information on that. And we also have the four pack for the Wonder Show's Family Fun Spring Fair at Assiniboia Downs, which starts today and runs weekends through May 26th. So we're getting into that summer season golf family fairs. Good times.
We're also, later on this morning, we're going to tell you about Canada Day celebrations.
Okay.
A little bit of an exclusive here at 680 CJOB. That's all I can tell you.
Okay.
At this point in time. But before 8 o'clock, we're going to tell you about something special coming for Canada Day in a place I don't think has really done it before. That's all I can say. I'm already saying too much, Brett McGarry. So I can't put the genie back in the bottle, but I'm just going to stop speaking now. Watching one of our gigantic TVs here in the studio, the highlights from last night's Bruins Maple Leafs game. Toronto Maple Leafs, once again, staving off elimination. They were down 3-1 in the series to Boston. They fought back with two consecutive wins and have forced a game 7 Saturday night. And for the Bruins, they're looking to avoid being eliminated for a second consecutive year in the first round after holding a 3-1 series lead. Last year it was Florida that did the deed to them. And so Toronto looking to exercise all sorts of demons tomorrow night in Boston.
That's
so I actually am kind of excited for this game against all instinct. I'm excited for this game tomorrow night. See how it goes down.
And it's proof that it can happen, that you can come back from a 3-1 deficit, at least to tie it. Yeah, I was, I saw that and I thought, oh, yeah. Good for Leafs fans.
Good for Toronto.
That's just great. Also, a heads up that at 7:35, we'll tell you what's new at the movies, or what maybe the way we should say it is what new movies are out this week, because we've got a couple of big ones in theaters. And, of course, the big Seinfeld movie has debuted, I guess, on Netflix as of today, Unfrosted. It's the Pop-Tart movie. I can tell you, just looking at Rotten Tomatoes, so far, not so good.
Oh, no. Yeah. Seriously.
29%.
Ooh.
So far.
Was not anticipating that. I wonder if Jeff Braun will be calling in sick for work today so he can stay home, or maybe he's up already watching
that. Well, and if you listen to the Couch Potatoes, the show airs Saturdays and Sundays at noon, but you can listen to it right now in podcast form at cjob.com. I was shocked Braun's assessment of this, because he loves all things Seinfeld. He says he couldn't even get through the trailer. He said, like, that this looks terrible. He has no desire to watch it. He's going to watch it, but he says it looks awful.
So it's going to be like homework, genuine homework for him.
Yeah.
Forced to watch this. Okay. So that's online. Also online and throughout the day. And if you go back into our audio vault throughout the day yesterday, clips of the Winnipeg Jets, their exit interviews yesterday, Connor Hellebuyck. I'm sure we'll hear some stuff throughout CAM Sports this morning. Connor Hellebuyck, Adam Lowry, Rick Bowness in particular, Dylan DeMello, a bunch of names. Lots of conversation to go through over the next several weeks. That's going to be an interesting offseason again for the Winnipeg Jets. And as we mentioned yesterday, maybe at the top of the list, will or will not Rick Bowness be back behind the bench for the Jets?
Yeah, that's our question of the day at CJOB.com. Should Rick Bowness stay with the Jets for the 2024-2025 season? 67% say yes, 33% say no. You can cast your vote at CJOB.com. And it was interesting to see Connor Hellebuyck saying that he felt like he was playing some of his best hockey ever. He said in spite of the number of goals that were scored, he felt like he was playing really well. And I think that I was actually happy to see that, because a lot of people were pointing the finger at Hellebuyck, but you can only stop so many shots if your team's not doing its job. And we saw the Avalanche just totally manhandled.
Yeah, many two-on-ones, many crazy deflections, lots of action in front of Hellebuyck, in front of the net, and shots getting through. And the shots that he saw, he was terrific on. So lots there. Connor Hellebuyck also admitting that he needs maybe to be a little bit more part of the team and not feel as though he has to carry the team.
Oh.
That's okay. Not all on his shoulders. Good. So it was very mature comments from Connor Hellebuyck. Probably as talkative and forthright as I've heard him in his entire career here in Winnipeg. He's usually sort of focused and maybe talking at the room.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like he was really speaking to people yesterday. It was a nice revelation in my opinion.
Mackling and McGarry talking more about Neighbours in a moment. First, want to say hello to a couple of our friends out east in Nova Scotia. Wade lives in Nova Scotia, and we were playing Blame It on the Rain by Milli Vanilli earlier. Producer Jeff Forte queued that up. Wade says, I got caught shoplifting that CD when I was a teenager. I was then very disappointed when I found out they were lip syncing. LOL. So he stole the CD and then they stole his innocence.
There you go. PTSD inducing. Apologies for that.
That's the whole Milli Vanilli saga. That's a really sad story. By the way, I feel so bad for those guys. One of them has died, took his own life. As well, listener Joan is vacationing. She's spending some time out east. So good morning. Joan sent us a picture of her breakfast bagel, or bagel, if you were a fan of the television show Community.
Yeah, my boys both call them bagels.
Do
for
they?
That reason. Yeah.
Good for them. Good for them. They are streets ahead with that vocabulary. Also, just a heads up that coming up ahead at 8:35, GMAC, who are we talking to there?
Well, can I play some audio here, Brett?
Sure.
A legendary Winnipeg broadcaster left Winnipeg decades ago, but I think we all still consider him a Winnipegger. I know you consider him a Transconian.
That's right. I played baseball with his brother, Ryan.
Okay, so there you go. Ties in very nicely. I'm just going to press play on this.
Okay.
I have to press another button. Hold up. Nope. Jeff, what's going on? Why is my computer working?
Where's the audio? I can play it.
Dang. Okay, it's not going to work.
Okay.
Rod Black is who
was broken.
Sorry?
I don't know. Everything's fine on this end.
Oh, okay. I'm going to try it one more time. No, it's not working.
I got to solve this mystery. I'm
gosh darn it. It's just not doing what it's supposed to do. Okay. So Rod Black is the gentleman we're speaking of. And Rod's son, Tyler, was drafted into Major League Baseball a couple of years ago, got called up to the Milwaukee Brewers. And Rod was on vacation in Cancun, flew to Milwaukee in order to be in the building and happened to be interviewed on Bally Sports as his son got his second hit of the game. The audio is outstanding. I'd love to play it for you. We will play it for you. We'll get this sorted out in the next few minutes while we talk about this story. We'll play the audio. Rod Black will join us at 8:35.
All right. So let's dig into this a little bit more. As Sarah McCarthy was telling you in Global News, Charleswood residents and city councilors have been speaking out after a building that violates city policy was allowed to stay as is.
Yeah, it's a story which highlights a lack of willingness of several city councilors to let the rules slide. And one resident who says he's upset that a neighbor he once considered a friend isn't facing consequences for a massive newly constructed garage. Global News reporter Iris Dick has the details.
When Charleswood resident Darren Van Winsberg's neighbor told him of plans to build a garage, he thought little of it. But that later changed.
I never thought that the building would be of this size.
The structure, visible from Van Winsberg's backyard, is four times the maximum square footage permitted by city policy, and it also exceeds the maximum height by about 10 feet. That's according to a report from the city's Planning, Property and Development Department, who inspected the build after it was constructed without a building permit.
My backyard was like a park. Now it's like we're in an industrial park.
I do apologize for the inconvenience that this has caused.
In Wednesday's appeal committee meeting, the property owner, Tylan Unruh, appealed the decision to deny his structure a zoning variance. The planning department recommended the committee deny his appeal, but the committee approved it in a 3-1 vote.
I think, unfortunately, there is a mentality of the permitting process is too difficult.
Charleswood City Councillor Evan Duncan acknowledges the permitting process isn't perfect, but says it's necessary for safety and fairness. Duncan says his issue is with the committee, not the property owner.
It's unfortunate that they have now sent the message to Winnipeggers, again, that if you beg for forgiveness and you hit the right appeal committee, you might get some leeway.
St. Vital Councillor Brian Mays, who chairs the committee, agrees zoning laws need to be applied uniformly, but says that hasn't always been the case, including in his ward.
Blaming a process where we're just careening around trying and applying rules differently in different parts of the city over and over again.
The Unruhs hired professional planner John Winthrop to aid them with the permitting process. Winthrop says they'll comply with the appeal committee's requirement to plant trees to block part of the building.
They've faced fines and fees, which they've paid, and now they're going through the uncertainty of trying to get this permit in place for their structure. It was an error on their part. A lot of Winnipeggers make that error.
In an emailed statement, the Unruhs said their building is not unlike many other garages in the area, where many properties occupy several acres. They say they hold no hard feelings toward Van Winsberg and regret the tension it's caused between neighbors.
We were good friends prior to this. Now that this has been built, we are not friends anymore. We've each gone our own way.
Iris Dick, Global News.
So 2 acres, 2.5 acre lot, like a 2.5 acre lot, Brett, is well over 100,000 square feet. It's about 15 times the size of my lot. I've got an attached garage on my house that's about 22 by 24 feet. We'll even call it 24 by 24. 400 and something square feet. Is it unreasonable to imagine that someone with a lot 10, 11, 12, 13 times the size of mine to have a outbuilding 10, 11, 12 times the size of my garage? I would say that's reasonable. But there is a process, and I think that's what has a lot of people frustrated and a lot of people worried that that's going to compromise the integrity of the entire permitting process. Why should I when somebody else didn't?
Yeah. And the fact that this thing was able to get built, I'm scratching my head over this. But indeed, when I first heard about this, the size of the garage, I didn't really know what to picture. I was thinking, like, what is this just at the end of someone's driveway? Like, what's going on? And then when I watched Iris's story and saw where this giant garage is built, I thought, oh, well, it doesn't really look all that out of place.
There. Buried way in the back of this gigantic lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll have to ask the mayor about this on Monday when we have our monthly visit, because anytime you hear the word permit in conjunction with the city of Winnipeg, it's typically attached to somebody's frustration. We hear from business owners, homeowners, who say it's just a nightmare.
Sure. So where do you land on this, listener? Is this about bad neighbors, bad intentions, bad city policy, or a lack of enforcement? Or is it, at the end of the day, no big deal? 204-780-6868. This is a big deal. Not that I figured out how to work the computer, fairly big deal, but this was a pretty big moment for our guest at 8:35, Rod Black.
Hit. I think hand-eye from hockey also helps. There's a base hit to right field for my boy, Tyler Black. There you go. Oh, there you go. 2 for 2. Happy birthday, Nancy.
That was incredible. He's got tears in his eyes, guys. This is an incredible moment for the Black family. Congratulations to you guys. What a fantastic day.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think we're going to start drinking heavily.
Welcome to Milwaukee. You are right in.
We love Milwaukee. We love Milwaukee. We're never leaving.
So Rod Black, his son Tyler, two hits in his MLB debut in Milwaukee. The Bally Sports Reporter happened to be interviewing him at when Tyler got his second MLB hit. And there's the audio there. We'll speak with Rod coming up in just under a couple hours time.
All right, so inspired by this situation in Charleswood, we want to talk about neighbors. And by saying we want to talk about good neighbors, bad neighbors, we're not pointing any fingers at that particular situation. We just wanted to use it as a springboard for a discussion, for a chance to win stuff. We've got a 2024 Winnipeg discount golf card or a family four-pack to Wonder Shows. Oh, pardon me. That was today's prize is different, actually. We've got a party of eight-pack. Tickets and food for eight people to enjoy at Wonder Show's Family Fun Spring Fair.
Oh,
that's a Friday special.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's a supreme package, deluxe.
Yeah, no,
that's
kidding.
Like the regular size hot dog versus the footlong.
Yeah,
you got the footlong with all the fixings. And to be clear, we were planning to discuss neighbor issues today since Tuesday.
Yeah,
a text message that we got that prompted this whole conversation about recourse, about what do you do if your neighbor does something you don't like with regard to a fence, I think it is. And so, yeah, this is something we were planning to discuss all along today.
So we want you to tell us your good neighbor or bad neighbor stories, or what kind of neighbor are you? 204-780-6868. Mackling, you want to start us off?
Sure, I can start us off. Back in the year Jackie and I got married, whatever year that was, our neighbor came to us. We had a horrible leaning fence in between our two yards, and it did need to be replaced. And our neighbor, Mark, who was just a great guy back in the day, he's still a great guy. We just don't live next to him and his wife, Merrill, any longer, came to the door and said, "Hey guys, I think it's time to do something about that fence. I'm going to tear down the old one and build a new one. What do you think about design? Blah, 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 blah." We had a conversation. We just said, "Mark, we're getting married in like 3 months. This is not in our budget." He said, "That's okay. It'll be our wedding gift to you guys. We'll pay for the whole thing." Right down to the gates on both properties. He even built a beautiful gate for us. And it was never, ever discussed again. It was just understood that was their wedding gift to us, was to build the fence.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, it was really, really kind of them. So it's 17, almost 18 years later. Well, no, it's more than 18 because my kids will be 18. It's almost 20 years ago.
Wow.
And I'll never forget their kindness. So Mark, Merrill, if you're listening, we still appreciate you all these years later.
That's excellent, man. Cam Poitras, what about you?
When I was living in North Kildonan, well, I grew up in North Kildonan on Bonner Avenue, and my neighbors at the house, Rod, they were building a pool in their backyard. And my dad and Rod got along real well. And dad's like, well, we're having a trouble finding a way to, you know, get the mud out and move. And so my dad's like, "Okay, well, we'll just take down the portion of our fence. You can come through and use our yard, and the Bobcat can go back and forth, and whatever, we'll figure out the sod or whatever the issue was, and we'll figure that out later." So that was the deal. And while that fence was down, it was actually really, really nice. I remember one time, and I'll always remember this, I was at the time training to be a pitcher for the Chicago Cubs, and I was working on my fastball in the back.
Was that an official thing?
Well, it was to me at least. Yeah, I don't know if sure. I'm not sure I was getting scouted. I don't know. There might have been somebody hanging out in a tree or something watching me, but I was in the back practicing my fastball. And Rod came out and played catch with me for, I think, about 2 hours, and he didn't have a glove. I just, it's just a memory that sticks out with me. So whenever I think about Neighbors, I think about me playing catch with Rod that one time. So it was pretty special.
Cool. Sarah McCarthy, what about you?
The best neighbor that I had was when I was a kid, Mr. Fenwick, who lived down the street just from my parents' house in Dryden. He was in his like 70s or 80s, but he loved staying active, always walking around in the neighborhood. And you could just count on him for anything. Anytime there was a snowstorm, we'd be out shoveling, didn't have a snowblower, but oh, there comes Mr. Fenwick walking over with a snowblower, and he'd come out and help anytime you needed it. Just Halloween, he made up these special treat bags for all the neighborhood kids, had names for everyone, and just really thoughtful birthday cards for all the neighborhood kids, too, in the mailboxes, and just all around a very good neighbor. Very thoughtful.
Oh, that's wonderful. Forte.
I'm so lucky because I got to grow up with my best friend next door. So, like, I think I was like 2 months old when I met him. So we don't have any memory without one another. So we were so lucky. We got to get in so much trouble together and everything to the point where we started a swear club. So we would climb up on his shed, which was in between our house. And that was our meeting spot. And we just get up there and just start cursing.
Just saying them?
Yeah, why
that's
not?
It?
Yeah.
How old are you?
We're probably like 7, 8.
Did you ever get in trouble?
No, come on. It was a club, man.
It's a secret club.
Yeah, no parents allowed.
Well, you said it was in a shed.
Yeah, like it was on top of the shed, but we just hang out there.
They couldn't hear you?
No.
You had to practice your swearing.
Yeah.
You're quite prolific now, Fortune. It worked out.
Thank you. I practiced.
And I got a bad neighbor story. When I first moved into the building I'm living in now, I had a couple of young guys living immediately above me. So there were two things that drove me nuts. One of them had a girlfriend who was like she was this petite little thing, like 5 feet tall, but somehow was the stompiest, loudest walker ever, and I always knew it was her because it just the speed at which the steps were happening. It was like but then also because they were young, you know, they like to throw a party from time to time, which is fine. You know, I don't want to be the fun police, but there was one day where I got up for work. It was the day after Halloween, so here I am at 3:30 in the morning, and they're up there just like full shaker. And
what day of the week is this?
It's like a Wednesday.
Yeah, so there you go.
At this point, I'm up. Like, I'm already up for work. Yep. But just based on the sheer principle of this, I marched upstairs and I banged on the door like, too loud. And then I could hear a guy inside saying, everybody out. So that was it. Shut it down. And then I went to work. Grumpy.
Very, very patient. You waited till 3:30. Wow. Mm-hmm.
No fun allowed, kids. Want to know your good neighbor, your bad neighbor stories, or maybe you were the bad neighbor? Don found a way to solve a bad neighbor situation. Says there's a gap about 3 feet wide and 2 feet between the home I grew up in and our neighbor's driveway. Said neighbor would shovel his driveway, but not that space, and our basement would flood when spring came along. Dad spoke to him, as did the police, to no avail. I told Dad I could get him to stop, and he told me to do whatever. So one sunny day, we held band practice on the patio with drums and speakers pointed at his house. Judas Priest, Kiss, and Motley Crue were heard for blocks.
Yes.
3 days later, his lawn was adorned with a for sale sign. Problem solved.
Now that's next level trolling of your neighbors. I'm not endorsing this. I endorse the playlist though.
Yeah.
Are there any recordings?
We'd love to see some recordings. Tanya saying, I've got an awesome neighbor. He gave me a pierogi recipe that 30 years later, I still use.
Nice.
Friends and family beg me to make them every year. They also gave me a chive plant. Best neighbor I ever had. Forte, you've got neighbors who give you food, don't you?
From time to time. There was one morning, it was, what, like 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm getting ready for work and going to knock on my door and there's my neighbor. She's got some freshly baked apple pie, 5 o'clock in the morning.
So I'm curious, Jeff, did this gifting of food begin shortly after you moved in or a long time after you moved in? I'm curious if this is a preemptive move by your neighbors to make sure that you're always quiet.
No, I go to bed at 8 o'clock. Of course I'm quiet. But no, it was about a year after I moved in. But no, I helped them out here.
Okay, so it's a thank you for being a good neighbor versus making sure you don't misbehave.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
I fear that as I get older, I'm becoming that neighborhood grump, that old man who yells at cloud. Like we've got, we have a family that moved in down the hall about 6 months ago, and they do a lot of laundry, and so, which is fine, but it's the slamming of the door, and like that, for what it, they go back and forth. They were sweet to the laundries back. Like, what are you doing? And so like they leave their apartment, they slam their door. Like they just let the door close. So slam. And then when they go into the laundry room, slam. They go back to their suite, slam. Back to the lot, slam. So finally one day I stuck my head out when he was coming down the hall and I just told him like, can you close the door a little bit quieter? Like you sound like a psycho. And then I probably looked like a psycho as I'm yelling at this guy who's just trying to do laundry for his family.
How many kids?
Just one.
It's still a lot of laundry, man.
I know. I know.
That's tough. That's tough. Kids, having kids in an apartment building and no in-suite laundry, that's a ton of work.
And that's a ton of cost. It's $5 for a wash and dry. Ooh. So, yeah. Keep your neighbor stories coming for a chance to win either a 2024 Winnipeg discount golf card or a party of 8-pack. Tickets and food for 8 people at Wonder Show's Family Fun Spring Fair. We'll pick our winners at 9:15. It is Mackling and McGarry. Our weekly Gab with Gabby is coming up at 9:05. But once upon a time, the home stadium of the Milwaukee Brewers was known as Miller Park. These days, the retractable roofed stadium is now known as American Family Field.
Well, on this past Tuesday night, it was the Canadian family making headlines not far from the shores of Lake Michigan. This from Sportsnet.ca. Toronto native Tyler Black has made the most of his first day in the big leagues after the Milwaukee Brewers announced Tuesday they had recalled the 23-year-old infielder from AAA. Black put together a debut to remember. In his first at-bat in the third inning, Black hit a double to deep center field off Rays lefty Tyler Alexander.
Tyler is the son of longtime Canadian sports broadcaster Rod Black. Right after Tyler's first career hit, the Milwaukee broadcast shared that Rod and his wife were in Cancun, Mexico, when they got the call that their son was being called up. In his next trip to the plate, Rod, in attendance, was given the chance to call the at-bat on the Brewers broadcast. Here's how it went.
I think hand-eye from hockey also helps. There's a base hit to right field for my boy, Tyler Black. Woo! There you go. Oh, there you go. 2 for 2. Happy birthday, Nancy.
That was incredible. He's got tears in his eyes, guys. This is an incredible moment for the Black family. Congratulations to you guys. What a fantastic day.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think we're going to start drinking heavily.
Welcome to Milwaukee. We love, right in.
We love Milwaukee. We love Milwaukee. We're never leaving.
Guys, how cool was that? He's calling his son's at bat and he gets a hit. I mean, come on.
Yeah, 2 for 2. He's my kind of guy, right?
I'm a little misty-eyed trying to read through this. That audio, courtesy Bally Sports Wisconsin. Joining us now, the man, the legend, Rod Black. Rod, thanks for this.
Hey, thank you, guys. I think I haven't stopped drinking heavily since that moment.
Well, thanks for putting it down for a moment to chit-chat.
That's Transcona in me, man. That's what happens.
Yeah, baby, Transcona. I played baseball with your brother Ryan, actually, when I was growing up.
Yeah, I grew up, I played a lot of ball out there. And I mean, it was kind of funny that night. We were kind of reminiscing, and, you know, people asked me about my love of baseball, obviously, as a broadcaster, but it really started in Transcona and playing youth baseball there. And then I had a pair of uncles, Bob and Art Esri, and unfortunately, my uncle Art passed away a couple of weeks ago, but they were huge influences in baseball. And we would go to Stonewall every weekend, and we'd play catch with them, play with them, and then I ended up even in playing senior ball out in Grosse Isle, the Grosse Isle Blue Jays with my uncle Art. But it just, you know, the beauty of the game is that it's starting as a kid, a young boy and young girl, and it's kind of where you started. And even Tyler, we're chatting last night and the day before about, you know, how it all started, where it started, and the love of the game. And it really is a romantic game, and that night had a lot of romance.
Well, as you're talking about it, that's what I love most about baseball, Rod, and attending Major League Baseball games, been to over 20 stadiums, and I can't tell you the score of one single game I've ever been to. It is a romantic game. Going to the game is something special. It's family. Yeah. It's conversation. They call it America's pastime for a reason.
Yeah, and it's full of nuance, and it's full of connections and unique opportunities and just crazy little things that happen, you know, that you never think happening. I mean, Tyler honestly might have been born to play baseball. I had to broadcast the game the day he was born. And, you know, a few hours later, I had to get in the booth and do a game back in July in 2000. And his name was on the Jumbotron that day, you know, the day he was born. And just that crazy connection there. And then, you know, 16 years on his date, on his birthday, he got a chance to play at Rogers Center or Sky Dome. And, you know, on his birthday, like, you can't make that up, but the same place, in a Canada versus East Coast Classic. And just little things that connected. I mean, his mom's birthday the other day was a special moment. But yeah, I heard that audio of his first double. I mean, his name's Tyler Black. His middle name is Alexander. He got his hit off a guy named Tyler Alexander. I mean, it's crazy, crazy coincidences that line up in baseball. And I think we look for them maybe, but there's a magic to the game that it's indescribable.
Was it an ordeal to get to Milwaukee from Cancun?
Planes, trains, and automobiles, and a lot of stress. We didn't get the call. I was actually working in Cancun, speaking at a conference for MVRO. It's an Automobile Dealers Association in Ontario. Great people. We're there. We got there Sunday. You know, we had a session on the Monday, conference session with an industry leader. I was supposed to interview Liz Manley, who was coming down the next day. We're on the beach after dinner Monday night. It's like 11:30, beautiful night, moon, you know, stars down, you know, nice kind of little romantic night. Nance's birthday is the next day. And we got 6 missed calls, and I looked at Tyler and I go, oh, that's it. He's called up. And then, you know, he calls and says, I'm going to the big leagues, and said, you better get your butts on a plane. And I'm going, how am I going to do this? So now it's scramble mode. It's impossible to get to Milwaukee from Cancun. It could be a movie, a song, you know, from Mexico to Milwaukee with a lot of beer in between. But anyway, we got the last 2 flights on this Spirit Airlines at 2 in the morning. We had to take a 2-hour cab in the morning to the airport. We got to Chicago, luckily through with no hitches, but then there was a customs line. Then we had to take a train to get the rent-a-car, and, you know, and then as we're getting up, it's only an hour away, really, from here. And so it's about 4:30, game's at 6:40, thinking, okay, and then I get a text from Tyler. He was late. His flight was late out of Nashville, where he was playing AAA, and he goes, I'm not starting tonight. I'm going, wait a second, we just scrambled. But then I thought, well, he still could pinch run, whatever, you know, he might pinch hit later. you know, I'm thinking, oh gosh, you know, what a party pooper here, buzzkill. But so then we got to the park just in time for opening pitch, and we're sitting with his agent, and lo and behold, there was that. And I honestly want to just sit there, have a beverage, and just enjoy and decompress, because it was so hard to get there. It was so cool to see him in a big league uniform, even if he didn't play. And then in the first inning, my wife elbows me and says, look, Gary Sanchez hobbles down the line, out pops my kid out of the dugout, gets a nice ovation, and he's in the ball game. And it's like, okay, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Amazing. And so yeah. It was Nancy's birthday, your wife's birthday?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah, you can't make this stuff up. And it's like, then after the game, we were waiting. And you said about the stadium earlier, everybody, I hope a lot of Manitobans come down, cheer on the Canadian kid, who actually, Tyler spent a lot of time in Winnipeg too when he was growing up. But the stadium's incredible. And I like Rogers Centre, I like all the stadiums, but there's something special. It is a family feel. The people are so freaking nice. I always tell people, and you guys hear this all the time, oh, Winnipeggers are so nice. They make, like, people from Wisconsin are unbelievable. It's no wonder they made Happy Days there. They're so they're so nice. I'm sure I sat with the Cunningham family, you know?
That's fantastic.
And it's easy access. So anyways, we're waiting after the game. Everybody's coming up, and I guess it was going off on there. We didn't have our phones. We left them in the car. It was going around the stadium that this viral moment or whatever happened, or Tyler, you know, they obviously saw Tyler's double and they came up and congratulated us, and everybody was so nice. And then Ty came out, you know, gave him a big hug and, you know, a few tears there. And he had the baseball in a little, already in a trophy case. The second baseman had given it to him after that double, and he gives it to mom, and his mom says, "Happy birthday, mom." So that was cool.
Rod, having a child achieve their dreams, the goal of every parent, can be a delicate balance, whether it's academics or sports, right? Blurred lines, I think you'd agree, between pushing too hard and simply encouraging. Mm-hmm. How did you navigate that path, Rod?
Well, a unique situation, too. I'm in the business, right? And I see it. You know, one of the things that we always had, because we have such a heavy sports family, and it's in my extended family, even in Manitoba, we're so into sports. And it was, you know, we had four kids, and we always said to them, you know, again, whatever it is, it's sports, academics, arts. I kind of had one rule. My dad never really pushed. My dad played, you know, pro-level hockey and junior hockey, and he never pushed me. But, you know, he's like my hero. And I kind of learned from him, but one thing he kind of did is that, you know, because you never want anybody to walk away or quit or whatever from a sport or get discouraged, because I think the values of sport are huge. That's why I love it. That's why I still broadcast. That's why I'm still involved. I mean, I just love the stories and the achievement and the failure that exists with it. And so I always had a thing for that. Ty played every sport imaginable. He was kind of like me growing up in that he loved them all. But if any of my kids, I also have a saying is that, you know, parents don't drive kids to practice, you know, kids drive parents to practice. And if my kid wants to get up at 5 a.m, which he did a lot, and want to go hit or something, I'm there to encourage him. I'm there to help. I'm not there to push, but I'm there to help. And if they ever want to go away from something, I said, you guys can quit whatever you want. If you don't want to play, that's fine. But here's the other rule. You got to pick up something else that you got to really like. Like, find something. Just don't sit at home. I don't want video games. So if there was any kind of push, it was to make sure that you were always active. That's the only push that we ever had. But the best thing that we did was, you know, we put the time in. And it was hard, you guys, for especially my wife. I mean, I was traveling so much, especially in my TSN and CTV days, you know, especially in the summer. We had so many friends and family help us get our kids to games, you know, on cars, to the carpools. If I was home, we divided and conquered. Nance took two one way. I took two the other way. And we loved it. We loved being around it. And it wasn't because we thought any of our kids are going to play pro ball. I got another boy who's playing Division I ball down in Baltimore, and Brody, and he unfortunately can't be here because he's playing. But it's not because we thought that. It's just, it was a great environment. There was nothing like it. And it cost a lot of money, as you probably hear all the time from parents. It does. And we got to bring the cost down for people. It's crazy. But at the end of the day, you know, when your kids are even done and you go, okay, I can take a breather now. We don't have to do that anymore. You really miss it. There's nothing like it being around it. And watching your kid perform or play or practice or do anything, there's nothing like it at any level. That's why we're parents. That's why we have them. That's why they're there. And I think they appreciate when your parents are supportive and not operative.
Well, Rod, before we let you go, and we only have a few seconds here, but I got to mention this. Greg's a proud West Ender. I'm a proud Transconian, grew up in Transcona. I still go to the same barbershop.
Flamingo City, Dell's Pizza. Give them shout-outs, man. Best pizza in the city.
For sure. It's excellent. And I still go to the same barber, Tony's Barbershop. I've been going there since I was 11, and my barber, Joe Porco, reached out to me.
Oh, the Porcos. Joe and I played baseball and hockey growing up. We walked to school every day. I love, you know, like Joe was a great guy. We had Kenny Porco was down the street. The Porcos lived behind us. And I never went to that barbershop actually because we were on bikes all the time. We went elsewhere. I think my mom even cut my hair because we did the brush cuts when we were kids. But Joe's a great guy. Give him some love. I love that dude.
Will do for sure. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Rod. This has been a real treat.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. I miss the peg dearly. I'll see you guys this summer. I'm coming in to do some CEBL basketball.
Awesome. Rod Black joining us live on 680 CJOB. Last chance to get in with Mackling and McGarry. It's Brett McGarry alongside Greg Mackling. We've got two prizes up for grabs. 2024 Winnipeg discount golf card or a party of 8-pack tickets and food for 8 people to enjoy at Wonder Show's Family Fun Spring Fair at Assiniboia Downs. That starts today and goes weekends for the next 3 weeks. We're asking you about your neighbor stories, good or bad. Jonathan says in the house I currently live in, our former neighbors decided one year it would be a good idea to line the entire edge of their roof with the brightest white Christmas lights they could find.
Oh, yeah.
My problem with it was that our bedroom window faced that house. And they would often leave their lights on through the night. I felt like I was in the sequel to National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Early 2000s, my girlfriend at the time, her neighbor across the street had this great big giant Santa, inflatable Santa with the right arm would go up and down with supposed jingle bells in its hand. And it went, ho, 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 for hours. On end, they did not turn that thing off at night.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, oh. I still hear it in my sleep.
Oh, man. You didn't talk to them?
Well, not my neighbor.
Oh. So last chance. Tell us your story for a chance to win. In the meantime, Greg Mackling, who is in the studio with us?
She's your fireworks on your long weekend celebration, the touchdown in your football game of life. She's the delightful anchor of Global News Morning on Channel 9, Cable 12, CKND Television, Global News, Gabrielle Marchand. Hi,
Happy
Gabs.
Happy Friday. Yeah, put that computer screen down so I can see your face.
Can't see you.
I can see both of you now. Okay, wonderful.
Much better.
We've adjusted. We're good.
And we just got a reminder, and this will probably make you happy, Gabby, that Marianne pointing to the fact that there's a second BDI location.
Excuse me now?
Yes. Yeah, it's at the North Main at the corner of Jefferson. It opened on Wednesday. Because I was watching footage. I think it was on Global.
Has there always been sort of a little drive in there?
I don't know.
I think there has.
But I watched and I'm seeing the logo for BDI, but it was like a storefront. Like people were inside in front of a counter, and I thought, did they rebuild the one on Jubilee? No, they just opened a second one.
Two locations are better than one. Twice the fun.
Oh, that's a lot less driving for this guy.
Are we talking about treats now? Because you guys, I have a big plan for this weekend. I saw this recipe on Instagram, so I decided I had to make it. You take cake batter, and before people come at me, you do cook it with butter because I don't think you're supposed to eat raw flour. I've been eating it my whole life, and I've been okay, right? I grew to 6 feet tall eating raw cake batter. But anyway, whatever. So you put the raw cake batter in butter and a bunch of butter, and then you throw in a whole bag of marshmallows, and then you make popcorn balls with it. So it's cake batter, popcorn balls, mushroom popcorn balls with sprinkles.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be good?
Sounds interesting.
I'm so excited. I can't wait. I've been thinking about it all week.
Who is it that can't stand marshmallow?
I hate marshmallows.
Oh, okay. Oh sorry. It is so you. I won't okay. be
bringing it to work. Then, I guess. That's why Brett's no, only moderately so interested.
It's like, that's fine. Enjoy your popcorn.
Yeah, idiot. I think they're disgusting. Now, my treat this weekend, I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to pull the pin. I got it. It's La Pizza Week.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
What kind are you going to get?
Santa Lucia Pizza has a Fat Boy pizza.
Oh, chili? Chili cheese pizza?
Yeah.
I guess I'm having that with my popcorn balls.
So one of the things we've been talking about today, this week, lost and found stories. And this was inspired by what happened, Greg?
Well, I went to Toronto last week. And when I got off the plane, I grabbed the wrong carry-on bag.
Oops.
When I got home Friday morning, went to get my toothbrush and out came a curling iron.
Was it a nice one?
Curling. No, it was very, very 1990s.
Okay.
Curling iron. And when I took the bag back and got my own, I put them side by side to go, mine is navy blue and much bigger than the one that I took. The one that I took was black. Like, it wasn't even close.
How did this happen?
Anyway, so I lost and found something all at once.
What a lovely tale. Oh, sorry boy. For the other person.
I apologize multiple times. I'll apologize again. I feel like a complete lout.
A lout. I'm a lout.
So what you got for lost and found?
I am very irresponsible. I've always been like that. My mom used to always say that I'd lose my head if it wasn't attached to my body. And I don't know, you know, I'm curious for people who are listening. Is there a way to fix that if you've just been that way your whole life? It's sort of like forgetful Frida or forgetful. I don't know. I'm thinking of an F word that's not the F word I'm looking for. But I've just always been forgetful. So I've lost a lot of things. And I went through a phase as a kid and I wasn't that young. That's the embarrassing part. It's probably 8 or 9. I lost 4 winter jackets. And winter jackets are not cheap in 2 years because I kept leaving them places. And at one time we were on a road trip. We were coming back in Alberta and we stopped at a Wendy's. And I went in with my winter jacket. I guess I left it in the bathroom. And I didn't realize till we were about like 2 hours away that my winter jacket was no longer on me. And my parents are just like, okay, like it lives at the Wendy's bathroom now. That's just how it's going to be. We're not going back to Red Deer to get your winter jacket.
The spring jacket I get because there's those in-between seasons. You go somewhere, you take off your jacket and you go outside and there's no reason to remember it. How on earth did you walk from the Wendy's to the car and not, how? You know what? I'm going to blame your parents for that one. Right.
Bad parenting, mom and dad. Yeah. And it's just, I just kept losing. I lost one at the ski hill. Like maybe I should have been wearing my winter jacket at the ski hill. There's a thought. I think it's because I go into places where I eat and I get like the meat sweats. I'm eating all this food. I'm getting the eat and fry sweats. That makes sense. I'd only go to the ski hill to eat their French fries and gravy. So I'm getting the gravy sweats. I have to take my coat off and then I leave it behind. Right. I'm just so fueled by gravy. I don't even need winter clothes anymore, you guys.
Chips, dips, and gravy.
It's a lifestyle.
We only got about a minute here, but times we had to wrangle our pets.
If anyone has huskies, man, if you do not train them and they pack, delightful for humans, but wild beasts to other animals, like cats in the neighborhood, we had a really high fence, thankfully, because no other animal was safe. And there was a lot of them pulling you. You'd walk them and they'd be pulling your arm out of the socket as they ran down the street after someone else's pet. Nothing ever happened. I wouldn't laugh about it if something bad had happened, but I'm just saying we couldn't socialize them with anything because they
really?
Were. Yeah, Shannon, they're a little pack. They're cute though. They'd sing and they were lovely to human beings, but man, they were bad dogs sometimes.
And sorry, how many of them were there?
Two.
Two?
Yeah.
Okay.
They walked me.
They would sing though?
Yeah, they'd do the woo. Right? When we'd come home, if we'd left him for too long, he'd come in and woo. Mournful. He was like Celine Dion of the dog world.
Huskies singing. That's one of the favorite things I like to find on Instagram. Gabrielle Marchand is the host of Global News Morning, weekdays 6 until 9 on Global Winnipeg. Peg, always a treat. Thank
Happy
you, Gabby.
La Pizza Weekend!
It is Mackling and McGarry, and as we listen to some Aldo Nova fantasy, we want to fulfill your fantasy to either win the Winnipeg Discount Golf Card, which is a steal of a deal if you're a golfer or know someone who likes to golf. Or we've got a party of 8. Pack of tickets and food for 8 people at Wonder
8
Shows.
8 people?
Yeah.
Food, too.
And the food. That's a good one for the Wonder
like
Shows.
That's like a deluxe package, brother.
Wonder Shows Family Fun Spring Fair. Right at Assiniboia Downs. It starts today and it runs for the next 3 weeks on weekends. And we're asking you about your neighbor stories. Good or bad? Or maybe you're the bad neighbor. So let's start with, well, David, or Greg, why don't you start us off with one of our precursor warm-ups here is David A.
I had one of the best neighbors you could ask for growing up in Thompson, Manitoba. The man loved working with his hands. He and my dad were very close. Any kind of renovations my dad had going on, he was right there lending a hand and not asking for a dime. He helped my dad reshingle the roof and the garage. He helped him put up a new fence and pour a concrete pad for a patio. Even the smallest things, helping me fix my bike if I got a flat tire. He had a heart of gold. And last summer, I bumped into him at the Chamois after not seeing him in well over 25 years. If there was a Best Neighbor Award, he would take the prize. I couldn't think of someone who impacted my childhood the way he did. Wow, what a story, David. Thank you.
That's awesome. And it's always so nice when neighbors come together. I just think of some of my dad's neighbors. There's Brian Masters, who lives across the lane. And for years and years, he's been so generous with helping out the neighborhood with his snowblower. Like when on big snow days, he'd snowblow like half the back lane.
That's amazing.
On his own. And my dad's neighbor, Landon, helps my dad with snow clearance and stuff like that. They kind of help each other. My dad's got a snow blower, so he'll do their parking pads, and Landon will actually do the sidewalk shoveling. So that's cool that they help each other.
Good teamwork. I like that.
Maureen is our runner up this morning. Late 1990s, living in an apartment in the Village. It was the night before I was to defend my master's thesis. Well, the young downstairs neighbors decided they needed to throw a midweek shaker. Needless to say, I was stressed out and not amused at the prospect of that going on all night. So I went downstairs. I gave a very aggressive rap on the door, curtly explained the situation, gave them my icy death glare, as only I can do, and the party ended shortly thereafter. I successfully defended my thesis, and they got turfed from the building a couple of months later for reasons unknown.
Unknown reasons, Maureen? Tell us more.
All right, so that's great, Maureen. You're a runner-up, but GMAC Michelle M. is our winner.
I think this is a confession of sorts. Mm-hmm. I was 3 or 4. The neighbor left paint behind their garage. They left the can open with a brush in it. They had just bought a new car. I took the brush in the can that was open and started to paint the car. Nobody was around. The guy next door saw quickly what I did and ran very quickly inside. My mom had never seen me run so fast. The guy jumped the fence so quickly. In the end, the paint was wet and they were able to remove it. I learned my lesson for sure that day. It all turned out okay, but I sure remember like it was yesterday.
Oh, boy.
What color was the paint? Like maybe the brand new car wasn't a great color.
It reminds me when I was a little kid, I was at a family friend's place. My parents were at, it was an outdoor yard day party kind of thing. And the neighbor had like several just sheets of glass leaned up against the garage. And the guy said, "Hey, break them." And I just thought they were garbage. So I did. I shattered them with a hockey stick.
And?
My mom grabbed me, and I'm pretty sure I got the spanking of a lifetime that day. I don't know the fallout of that, but so that's when I learned there are certain things you don't get to play with, Brett.
Oh, my God. And Brett never played hockey again.
So Michelle's going to take the 8-pack of the Wonder Shows, and we'll offer the discount golf card to Maureen. Right now, we want to talk about something that's happening tomorrow. University of Manitoba is going to host the 35th annual traditional graduation powwow.
So for those that don't know, and perhaps you do, a powwow is a celebration and cultural event that brings people and nations together. It is an opportunity to hear traditional drum songs and see different types of dancing. The day-long celebration includes an opening pipe ceremony, presentations to the graduates, and a community feast in the afternoon. All activities are free and everyone is welcome at the University of Manitoba. We want to introduce you to and celebrate with two guests. Our first guest has quite the journey attached to his accomplishments in his post-secondary career. Included in that journey, a false start. We welcome to the start, Ryan Ketchum. Good morning, Ryan.
Morning. How's it going?
Going very well. And congratulations to you, Ryan. We also welcome Brown Buffalo, a member of the Sturgeon Clan from Broken Head Ojibwe Nation. The name his parents gave him is Taylor Gavin. Good morning to you, Taylor.
It's a she. Good morning.
Good morning. I love your enthusiasm, Taylor. Thanks for this, and congratulations to you both. Taylor, you might be completing one phase of your education, but embarking on another, Master's of Environment and Geography. Talk about why this area of study so important to you.
Yeah, good morning. It's very important because as Anishinaabe people and as Indigenous people in general as well here in Turtle Island, we are the original stewards of the land. It is our sole responsibility to maintain the inherent balance within the natural world and protect the spiritual connection that we have with it as well. And so being able to gain two different perspectives of learning from an Indigenous perspective and a Western perspective is really enhancing our work towards conservation and restoration.
Talk about combining those two, Taylor, if you would. I find it fascinating myself.
Oh, for sure. So from an academic perspective, there was this term that was coined a long time ago by a Mi'kma'ki elder. It's called two-eyed seeing, and it's looking at the world through an Indigenous lens in one eye and the Western lens in one, and learning how we can really braid these two together. And so for Indigenous people, we are real-time data collectors, right? We live on the land, we live in the live on the water and things like that. And Western science really just helps give us another different understanding from like a statistical and data point analysis, where we understand that our science also contains the heart and the spirit and the mind and the body as well.
And Ryan, we mentioned that you had a false start on your path to post-secondary education. Tell us a bit about your journey.
My journey. Well, basically, I came to Winnipeg for like more opportunities because I'm coming from Kenora, like Treaty 3, which is Kinigam, a very small town. And I came here for better opportunities. And after being here for a while, I guess I decided to attend post-secondary school after the death of my brother. So I thought I'd, make some improvements in my life. And, I applied. I did a couple of years at University of Winnipeg. I did 1 year of just taking whatever classes I found interesting. And eventually I landed on physics. I did 2 years of a physics degree there. And when I realized that wasn't exactly for me, I realized, there's better like applied sciences, which I'm found more enjoyment in. So then I head on over to University of Manitoba for a degree in electrical engineering, which I found way more enjoyable, like just the applied aspects of it and the community that I found there in NGAP, the Engineering Access Program, which is a university outlet for Indigenous students and the Indigenous community here in Manitoba. And that was really motivating to see a group like that, full of people like me going for the same thing. And the community that they built there amongst these students was really motivating to have around all the time.
Ryan, how important is it, in this endeavor, and now you're seeing it from the other side, but for younger people, how important do you think it might be for them? I'm thinking of, Indigenous youngsters. How important would it be for them to see you accomplish what you've accomplished and for them to come and visit the University of Manitoba on Saturday and to see this celebration and to see people who look like them accomplishing their dreams?
I think it's very important because, someone like myself who maybe didn't come from the best background and like wasn't dealt like the proper hand that maybe the majority of people are, to see that like no matter what obstacles you have and if you have the right drive, you can achieve what you set out to, like something like conventionally seen as difficult, like electrical engineering, to see someone like me be able to do it and come out the other side. And, having done something I'm incredibly happy with and proud of.
Well, and you also point out in your bio that you're one of many who had to deal with things like COVID and strikes at the university, but you also mentioned family losses. So the fact that you had to persist through some pretty difficult phases of life. So how much does it mean to know that you stuck the landing, that you followed through?
Honestly, it's a little surreal coming out the other side of this because there was a good year or two there where I was doing this, but with the approach of, why am I doing this? Like, I might not be out, cut out for this, but I guess I persevered because at the point, this was all I knew, was just applying myself to this degree. And especially through, I think it was two strikes at the University of Manitoba, one in my first year, and then one, I think, in the middle or towards the end of COVID, and then just COVID itself. So that was really tough to get through, but I'm really glad I did, because I feel like there's so much more opportunity for me now to be in a better place than where I was prior to starting university.
Taylor, Brown Buffalo, I really wanted to call you that because it's such a beautiful embodiment. What will it mean for you to celebrate this accomplishment in a traditional fashion, and who will you be thanking of? Who will you be thanking tomorrow as you reflect on this stage, on this one part of your journey?
Oh my goodness. That's such a hard question to answer. I have a grocery list of people that have been extremely supportive throughout this entire journey. And, you know, to be completely honest, as such a community driven person, I have to thank, you know, everybody in Broken Head, my partner, my parents, all the staff and student support systems at the University of Manitoba, including the Indigenous Student Center, the Environmental Conservation Lab, UMFM, which is our campus radio station, been with them for many years since I started. I can't nail down just specific names, but it's so many people. But being a part of the graduation powwow, it's been a long time coming. I'm not sure about Ryan, but I've been a student for quite some time. I actually remember seeing him around at like degrees and stuff. So it's so nice to be able to share the stage and walking grand entry with people that I've been on this journey with for so long. I started school, oh my goodness, many years ago. I want to say about 6 years I've been in school. So to finally be the one that gets to, you know, be celebrated, it's been a very long and hard journey, you know, going through, again, just to echo what Ryan was saying, going through COVID and online classes and everything like that. Like, we persevered, you know, we killed it and we're doing good things, and I'm so excited for the future. And it's just a big honor.
And Ryan, what will this celebration tomorrow mean to you?
I wasn't really raised in my culture, like, so attending this powwow and celebrating my achievements in with my culture and things I feel like I should have grown up around, I think this is going to be the start of a journey for me to reconnect with my own culture, because that's something I feel like I can finally have the time and like personal energy to put towards in my life. So that's something I'm really looking forward to.
Taylor, what does it mean when you hear Ryan talk about that in this context, this idea of feeling the freedom? I don't want to put words in your mouth, Ryan, but this, the idea that you know, this might give me the impetus, the inspiration to celebrate the culture that he felt he missed out on as a youngster.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, it's very similar to Ryan. I also did not grow up around culture. I come from intergenerational residential school survivors, and it wasn't actually until I attended school at the University of Manitoba where I actually found my reconnection walking down this path over the last 5 or 6 years is what really connected me to it as well. So I totally understand where he's coming from. But the beautiful thing about it is that our generation is the one that is restoring our culture and restoring our teachings and ceremonies, and knowing that there's other students that are on this journey with us, because we're all here learning. We're relearning and regaining and revitalizing all of these beautiful teachings and this beautiful way of life. And so it's a community-driven initiative, right? It's not just one person relearning everything. It's all of us in this journey together. And so it is just amazing to be able to celebrate in this way, because for so long we had to hide and keep these ceremonies away from the public eye because they were illegal. And here we are now promoting it, talking about it on radio, making videos and social media posts, and the word's getting out. And, you know, we are, we're all in this together.
Well, we say congratulations to you both, and thank you both for your time. So Brown Buffalo, thank you and congratulations. Have fun tomorrow.
Miigwech. Thank you so much.
And Ryan Ketchum joining us live as well. Ryan, thank you for joining us, and congrats.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was really fun.
It was great to talk to both of you. We're proud of both of you. This is wonderful stuff.
Investors Group Athletic Center tomorrow, University of Manitoba, Fort Garry campus. Things get underway at 9:45 with that pipe ceremony. Grand entry that Taylor referenced and Ryan mentioned as well, the grad ceremony, or that's at 12, the grand entry. Grad ceremony, 1:30. 3:30 is the feast. Intertribal and category dancing at 4:30 and a closing prayer at 7 p.m. It's genuinely an all-day event, Brett.
The University of Manitoba's 35th annual traditional graduation powwow.